Well, hello, everyone. It's good to be with you again, talking about something I think is really important. So let me just kind of give you the lead in to how this came to pass and what I want to share with you today. I think it was last night. I was just doing life, and something happened, and some feelings or some thoughts rose up inside of me, and Jesus just said, Chuck, we are dead to that sin, and we are alive to God. Now, I've often, as part of my language in the Lord, have, in the midst of temptation, stopped and said things like, you know, I'm dead to that sin, I'm alive in Christ to God, and just sort of recalling the truth about who I am and my position in Christ and standing in his victory over the reign of sin. But there was something about the language that he used that so ministered to me. And often in this relationship with Christ who lives in me, this one who speaks in me, who speaks to me by the Holy Spirit, who's leading me into all truth, into all that Jesus is, the truth about Jesus in every situation and circumstance. And he's often said things like, Chuck, we don't walk in unforgiveness. We don't live in bitterness. We don't whatever. And he's not saying that I'm walking side by side with him and he doesn't, therefore I don't walk in unforgiveness or bitterness. He's saying, Chuck, we as one. And so we have this relationship as if we were two, but we live as one. It's just this amazing dynamic. And so this one who lives in me as my very life, who lives his life through me, will communicate with me like in those words like, Lord, we do this, or we feel like this, or, you know, I have peace about it, therefore. And I go, yes, Lord, we do have peace about this because I'm one with him. He's my life. So when he said that to me last night about being dead to sin, I thought, wow, that is so profoundly powerful, because it wasn't like me standing off saying I'm dead to sin, independent from him. It was him reminding me I'm dead to sin because I'm one with him who is dead to sin, to any particular sin, any specific sin. So let me just read some scriptures from Romans. This is one of the things we'll talk about this week at the conference, and I don't have much time to spend on it today, so just briefly look at some stuff. It says this in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? In other words, up in chapter 5, he had said to them, just before this sentence, he had said in his letter to the Romans that where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And I'm very grateful for that. I can't out-sin the grace of God. Now, that doesn't just mean that when I blow it, that forgiveness is always there for me. It does mean that. But it also means, because of the grace of God, I'm free from sin's reign in my life. But we'll probably look at that from at another time, another day, in terms of those scriptures. It says in Romans 6:14, let me just read this to you. Because remember, grace has a face, and that face is Jesus. So whenever scripture talks about righteousness with us, it's talking about Jesus, because Jesus is my righteousness. Righteousness is a person. Grace is a person. It says in verse 14 of chapter 6, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, self-effort, man's best effort, but you're under grace. Sin shall not be master over you, for you are no longer under self-effort, but you're under grace, the free gift of the activity and the victory of Jesus. But back to the first part of chapter 6. What shall we say then? Or do we continue in sin that the grace of forgiveness may continue? Might it even increase? May it never be. I like what the King James says, God forbid. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Now, when did you and I die to sin? That's important. Let's just say if you have a person who struggles with addiction and they die, well, they're no longer a slave to that addiction. If they died, and whether it's alcohol or drugs were to come to try to tempt them, There it says in chapter 6, verse 7, he who has died is freed from sin. And so when he says, may it never be that you should just keep sinning so you can just keep receiving more grace, the grace of forgiveness, or you can know how far grace will go, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? The next verse. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Verse 10 of chapter 6. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives, he, Jesus, lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's the key. And so when he says, of course we shouldn't try to discover how far grace will go by keep sinning so that we'll have more, we'll receive more grace, the grace of forgiveness and mercy. He says, may it never be. How shall we who die to sin still live in it? He uses the word we. That means every one of us have died to sin's reign, to sin's power. When did that happen? Verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. At the cross, you were in Christ. And when Christ died, he didn't just die for your sin, pay the penalty of your sin. He also died to sin. That's what it says in verse 10. For the death that he died to sin, not just for sin. He died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives, he's now living to God. When Jesus went to the cross, you were in him. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that he, the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. At the cross, Jesus died not just for you, he died as you. You were in him. He was your substitute. He was, he died in your place. It was a vicarious death. In your place and on your behalf. He died as you. And so that, let's just say, maybe one of your biggest issues in sin is the sin of control. You want to control everything. Usually that comes out of fear. But so the control. Well, that person who is governed by the sin of wanting to control, or maybe the anger, maybe the sin of anger, that person who struggles with anger, Jesus died as that person. And he died to that anger. And you were in him, and therefore you died in him to that anger. His death to that anger was your death to that anger. He didn't just die for your anger and pay the penalty for your anger. He died to your anger. He died as you. You were in him. And when he died to that anger, you died to that anger. In Southernese language, y'all died to that anger. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. The next verse. Therefore, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So, it would be very normal for you in some situation where anger starts to rise up in you and you can hear Jesus say your name. So, we died to that anger. And we, you and him, are alive to God. And we don't live a life of anger. You hear me? That is so significant. For you to understand that it's not you standing off from him, sort of trying to do this formula, trying to get yourself dead to sin by saying it or believing it. We believe that we died to sin because we did. We died to sin when he died to that sin. We, me in him, He in me, we died to that sin because he became that sin and we died to it. And so it's very normal for him to say to me things like that, Chuck, we died to anger, but we're alive to God. I'm alive to God in him, not as two separate people, but as two people who are one. I have relationship with him. I talk to him. He speaks to me as two, and yet we live as one. That's the incredible, amazing reality of our union and your union with Christ. So can you hear me? That you want to get free from that sin? Well, you can check that box off because he's already taken care of that. You died in him to that sin when he, as you, died to that sin. It's already happened. And when you can hear him speak into your heart, when temptation comes, whatever that temptation may be, whether it could be fear or greed or pride or lust or insecurity or self-rejection, because he took all that on himself. Chuck, we died to self-rejection. We died to that insecurity. We died to that anger. We died to that fear. We died to that whatever, that jealousy. And we live to God. And the life that he lives to God is the one of righteousness. Amen? He's your righteousness. So, I hope that helps. It may raise some questions, but I want you to go back to Romans 6. It's probably the most important chapter for a Christian in all the Bible. To understand what happened, not just for you on the cross. Romans 6 talks about what happened to you at the cross. You, the old self, was crucified with Christ, and you now are a new self in union with him. And anytime sin comes, no matter what form it takes, you can declare, you can say, Jesus, we died to that. And Jesus, I sink into you, and thank you that we now live righteousness. We not just have a right nature, but right living. We don't, let's just say, fear. Not only, Lord, am I dead to this fear, are we dead to this fear, but in you, we're at peace. Yes, Lord, I'm at peace because you're at peace, and we have peace about this. Dead to fear, we have peace about this. Amen? Okay, that's just some examples. I trust that, again, that the Holy Spirit will just sort of overcome the time issues, and this is a word that will mean something to you, that you can walk free from sin's reign because in Christ you died to sin's power to control your life, no matter what form that sin is, and no matter how long you've been walking in that sin, no matter how what kind of shape that sin has taken, you can stop at this moment and rest in the fact that in Christ you can simply say, Jesus, I in you, you in me, we died to that sin. And I'm just now sinking into you and thanking you for your righteousness now lived through me. And his righteousness is going to be just the opposite of whatever that sin was. Amen?